Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to the show, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Very happy to welcome in on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, Jeremy Roenick, NHL superstar, 18 years in the league, now works for the NHL on NBC as a studio analyst. JR, what's up?
What's up, my junkies?
JR, that song will never get old. That's Round and Round by Rat.
Of course it is.
I mean, that song is classic and never, ever will get old. I love it. That's your walk-up today.
Yeah. Hairband 80s, baby. I love it.
What did you like to listen to back in the day, when, you know, in pregame?
Ooh, good question for JR.
I was a Motley Crue guy. I loved Motley Crue, little Ozzy, you know, and then I'd get just really weird and I'd do 70s disco. So I was all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever meet those guys? You ever meet like Tommy Lee or any of those guys?
Yeah, Vince Neil. Vince lives out in Vegas now.
Vince Neil, I met, I hate to admit this, but down in Tampa at a little adult ballet.
Right.
Okay.
An adult ballet.
Yeah, a little adult ballet. I met Vince Neil and kind of hung out with him for the night, and that would be the last time that I would ever do that with a rock star again.
Is that right?
Yes, that is right.
Oh,
yeah, debauchery there had to be off the charts.
But I bet you it was fun.
Oh, I'm sure it was fun.
I guarantee it was fun.
Let's just say the rock star life is definitely a rock star life. Yes.
Right. Hey, you only live once.
Yeah. JR, before we talk puck and caps more specifically, I don't think we've talked to you since I saw the video. Like, one of the scariest videos ever. It happened to you less than a year ago. Now, it's scary for me, but not apparently for you, when a rattlesnake was in your garage out in Arizona.
What did he do?
He didn't like call the cops or anything.
He handled it himself.
No, he took an 8 and a 9 iron out of his golf bag.
Yeah.
And he trapped it, and then he grabbed it by the back of its head and was showing its fangs
to
everybody.
Kidding.
And then he threw it over his fence.
Are you insane?
You let it live.
He's a madman.
What are you doing? He wrestles alligators.
I'm telling you.
I let it live. No, but I let it live, right?
So I would have cut its friggin' head off.
Well, that's exactly. And then I would have all the Greenpeace people going crazy, the Animal Protection Agency coming after me, and all the liberals just yelling at me. And, you know, I don't need that either. So, you know, whatever.
Right. Well, you didn't have to put it on social media.
Exactly. Nobody would have known.
He is a manly man. Because I know if any of us saw that thing in our garage, we're running a million miles away.
That's a perfect thing to put on social media because I know I'm gonna entertain a lot and anger a lot.
That's
so
true. That's true. How often do you see rattlers in your garage?
Well, you see rattlers pretty much every day, especially nowadays. They're all out and they're all hungry right now. So it's getting hot and it's time to sunbathe. I see them seriously every day. I've caught about 20 or 30 of them. So it's crazy.
Wow.
Jeez, you're nuts.
Hey, did you play? I think you played. Did you play in the charity of the event down in Orlando? We had Mark Rippon on.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
I think he was one of the guys.
Didn't you play in that? It wasn't too long ago.
It wasn't a charity. It was the celebrity tournament.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, I came in second.
That's right.
Second, right behind Marty Fish.
That's right. Marty Fish won it. That's right. It's all coming back. Yeah. I watched a little bit of it. See, the game's strong, man. The game is strong.
It's good. So hopefully I can get it done and win one of these maybe this year in Tahoe. So I'm getting close.
You are. All right, so what do you make of our caps here? A lot of us, we're just going down the woe is me highway, the same old, same old. Now, usually the Caps get out of the first round, but, nothing's easy if you're a Caps fan around here. Should we be panicked, or how should we feel about this so far?
Well, Columbus is definitely a bad draw for them, and I say that with a lot of different reasons. And I just don't understand. You have the first game of the playoffs. Energy should be at an all-time high. Preparation should be an all-time high. And I didn't see anything that impressed me. about Washington last night. You know, as much as I love Ovi, he was invisible last night. I thought Backstrom was invisible last night. You make mistakes at critical times of the game when, you know, you are taught as a player when from the earliest of ages, hockey 101, we say, right? And Barakovsky, who I really love the guy, I love watching him, who's usually very dependable, with 5 minutes left in the game, in the offensive zone, chases Seth Jones behind the net instead of staying right in front of the net, keeping him in front of him, you know, being very protective. And you don't chase a puck handler behind the net in the offensive zone, and he ends up taking a penalty with 5 minutes left, up 3-2, and then they score on the power play to tie it up. It's just, you know, little things like that where you don't think, where you're not prepared mentally, seems to be Washington's downfall time and time again.
Did you agree with Coach Barry Trotz's decision to sit Holtby and play Grubauer in Game 1? What were your impressions of his play in Game 1, and what do you do in Game 2? Do you stick to your guns and stay with Grubauer, or do you shake it up and maybe play Holtby in Game 2?
Listen, I thought the decision could have gone either way, because Grubauer, I think, earned his way into a starting role. He's played really well coming down the stretch, and I don't think he played terrible last night. I think he got put in situations. I mean, listen, when you have Thomas Vanek, okay, out-muscle Brooks Orpik in front of the net as bad as he did last night and not get pushed out, you know, that's not Grubauer's fault. And that, you know, that was the 2-2 goal game. Then I told you they took the penalty. Now you're on the power play and you don't get the puck out. I mean, Tom Wilson, love Tom Wilson. He's one of those heart and soul guys that you need on your team. And he does everything that you want to do as a coach, but everybody makes mistakes. He couldn't clear the puck twice on the power play, on the penalty kill, and it ends up in the back of your net. That's not Grubauer's fault. So, It's the little mental things in the playoffs that end up costing you, and it did for Washington last night, because they have a team. They're playing a team that will not go away, that will grind you and grind you and grind you. And you know what? Columbus pushed them out of the game last night.
You know, I'm reading that, and I didn't realize this as I was watching it, but in the third period, the Caps had a 10-minute stretch where they didn't get one single shot attempt. That seems outrageous to me. I mean, how rare is that?
Well, I don't know how much you guys watch me on NBC.
Yeah.
And I'm a Caps fan. I'm an Ovi fan. I used to have season tickets for the Capitals. So when I'm critical on my assessment of their team, it's with frustrating love.
Right.
And I do not understand with a team that has the likes of Oshie, Kuznetsov, Barakovsky, Backstrom, Ovechkin, Carlson, Orlov. I mean, I just named off 10 players right there that are very, very high skilled. I would call them stars. And yet other teams that are not as good on paper work harder than them and beat them. And consistently, Washington comes and thinks that just because they're talented, that they can just win hockey games. To win playoff games, you have to be gritty. You have to be mean. You have to work harder. You have to want it more. You have to have more sense of desperation. And when Washington loses, it's because they don't have any of that. And the other team beats them in that those categories. Talent, you know, hard work will beat talent 7 days a week when talent doesn't want to work. And sometimes that's, you know, Washington falls into that where they get, you know, just kind of in a funk mentally and just forget about the work part.
You know, a guy who's been in a funk in the playoffs, but though he played well last night, was Bobrovsky. He was 3-10 before last night's win against the Capitals, but it's a guy who's won the Vezina twice during the regular season, but it has an awful playoff record. Talk about his play, and can he be the guy that if Columbus beats Washington, can he carry them deep into the playoffs?
Well, Bobrovsky has proven to be a dependable goaltender, you know, time and time again. He won a Vezina Trophy. He's turned a average team, mediocre team, into a very good team. And, you know, he made some big saves last night. Is the two of the goals from Kuznetsov were kind of tough to, stop. One got deflected. One was a bomb of a shot on that rush. But they're power play goals. I thought he really didn't have much of a chance on Smith-Pelly's goal either, because it was a beautiful play and a beautiful pass by Verana. But he made the big saves when he needed it, and he allowed his team, he kept his team close enough to where they can catch up, and that's what you want from your goaltender.
Mm. So, Jeremy, we took a bunch of calls early in the show, and most Caps fans are, you know, they take the approach, look, this is what they do, you know, they let us down, they have great regular seasons, but in the postseason, they just, you know, they play long, drawn-out series, and they play down to their opponents, and, you know, eventually they lose, usually to Pittsburgh. That being said, how do you feel about Game 2? What changes should the Caps make? And do you feel like the Capitals still win the series?
Actually, I didn't pick the Capitals to win the series. I picked Columbus to win the series in six games. I think it's a bad matchup for them, and I think Columbus coming into the series, they were one of the hottest teams in the National Hockey League. They're scoring over four goals per game. The power play was running at 50%, and you look at the way that they play, of a very grinding game. What I told you, it's a frustrating team to play against. It's the exact opposite of a team that you want the Washington Capitals to play. Now, they're not out of it by any means. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it is a long series. There is no question. When the Capitals play the type of game that a playoff-style team will play, like when they play, like at the outdoor game, when they played a fast, you know, gritty, hard game against Toronto, they crushed them. You know, they played Winnipeg. They came into Winnipeg. You know, Ovi got his 600th goal. On an unbelievable game played against one of the best teams in the league because they wanted it more. They're way still in the series. One game doesn't make a series, but you're not going to do it by just putting on the skates and showing up. You got to put your hard hat and your work boots on, and you have to work for it.
JR, any way the Flyers bounce back after the bloodbath in Game 1 against the Pens? That was just ugly.
It was ugly. You know, and obviously me being a Flyer, and one time I've been in this rivalry and disliked the Penguins as a Philadelphia Flyer. That was a beatdown of major proportions.
Yeah.
And tonight's game is going to dictate whether Flyers have any chance to see if they have the pride to bounce back after getting embarrassed by their arch rival in the first game of the playoffs. I mean, 7-0 is totally unacceptable, and I just don't think their goaltending is up to par to beat the two-time Stanley Cup champions. As much as I hate to admit that, but man, that was a bad, bad first game. Flyers better show up and show some pride tonight. That's for sure.
Anything else surprise you or impress you of the game ones?
Crazy to me is that there's so many lopsided games. Boston winning 5-1 was crazy. I think with Nashville winning 5-2, even though that was a closer game than the score indicated. Usually playoffs are ones, you know, San Jose winning 3-0. You know, we're used to low scoring games, tight games, overtime games. We've only had one overtime game, which was yours last night in the first eight games. I'm surprised that these games aren't a little tighter, but I'm kind of thinking that might change here in the next couple of days.
Yeah.
JR, it's always good to catch up. Hopefully, if you're ever in D.C., you can swing by and hang out with us in the studio, okay?
Oh, I love my Junkies, man. You guys are the best.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you, JR.
Thanks for calling in, man.
All right. See you guys.
Jeremy Roenick, 18-year NHL vet, now studio analyst for NHL on NBC. He's great. Love him. Love that guy.
You don't like to hear.
He grew up in Fairfax.
You don't like to hear, though, that he says that the Caps are consistently like outworked. You know, like,
yes.
And he mentions, and those guys are
that they're not gritty.
I know they're all local, but they do seem like all great players,
right? Maybe it's just not a great mix. For whatever reason, I don't get it.
How do you have Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, Backstrom, Burakovsky, Carlson? How do you have all those guys?
I wish I had the answer, EB, but I don't. I don't have an answer for it.
Legit
studs. Tom Wilson, legit studs. We'll have to see how it plays out in game two on Sunday, 7:30 p.m. puck drop.
Yeah, you just don't have a lot of confidence.
Not very much.
I can tell.
That's some false bravado. Coming up next, we'll be joined in studio by Lil Rel Howery, actor and comedian. He's at Arlington Cinema and Draft House this weekend. That's coming up next here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the show, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, where you can see our next guests in studio with us. We're joined by Lil Rel Howery and his feature act, Jay Alexander. They're performing at Arlington Cinema and Drafthouse this weekend. For tickets, go to arlingtondrafthouse.com for all the information. Welcome, fellas. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having us,
man.
Yeah, very cool.
How you guys doing?
Good, man.
Just got in town?
Got in town yesterday afternoon. This is a really big airport here.
Which one did you go to?
The Dulles.
So, you know, it's funny. I didn't realize it was I thought we was going to two places. Like, I guess we're going to Dallas first and then DC. It's called Dulles.
Dulles. Right. Hilarious. He didn't really look at the ticket that closed,
like,
right?
I didn't know we had connectors from Dallas.
Yeah, I didn't. I'm like,
we're
Virgin turned to Southwest.
Then
we
go
to different places.
You'd
stay
never,
on a plane, man.
Never heard of Dulles.
Where'd you come from?
From L.A. Well, I'm from Chicago, but I came from, I live in Los Angeles now.
Right. In L.A. But is Dulles considered a big airport compared? LAX is every bit as big, right?
Well, Dulles is an international airport.
Dulles has a train. Any airport that has a train, to me, I think it's a bigger airport.
I hate that. I hate when you're in the wrong terminal and you got to get on the shuttle or the tram or whatever you call those things.
I actually like it because it's about 10 minutes from my house.
Oh, that's dope.
That's why I love it.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I hate flying out of Reagan right here, and BWI is a nightmare.
Oh, God. I didn't realize all these airports is here.
Do you live near LAX?
No, not at all. I live in West Hollywood, so I'm like 30 minutes, depending on what time it is.
Right. Did you have to deal with the L.A. traffic then, where you're going? Or?
Yeah. It depends. Well, I moved to West Hollywood to be closer to Fox Studios.
Right.
I was shooting one of my shows at, and nice. I was standing in the Valley at first.
Nice.
Yep.
Yeah.
Did you buy or rent?
Oh, I'm renting. L.A., I don't think that's where you should buy. Like, I think when I buy a home, it's going to be in the South somewhere.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Just so I can get a really big house.
A big house and, like, a tax shelter, too. Like, a place with no income tax.
Yep.
That's
how long have you lived in L.A.?
3 years now.
Do you like L.A.?
I love it. I mean, I love every place for what it is. I stayed in New York, too.
I love L.A.
That's what Valdez is laughing back there. Jason loves L.A.
I do.
There you do.
I'm not saying I would live there.
L.A.'s dope, though. It is. The weather's dope. It's just, I like driving in L.A. Like, I like driving. I love driving through Beverly Hills. And,
Yeah.
I mean, I guess if you're doing well, L.A. is dope.
Oh, yeah. If you have FU money, it's
the
place to be.
You might be the first person ever that said, I like driving through L.A. Because the traffic is even worse than here. It's paralyzing.
That's if you're coming from the Valley. And all, like, I stay in my area. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm saying. I drive through Beverly Hills and stuff like that. I don't like taking that trip to the Valley.
Then do you run into a lot of famous people then?
Yeah, well, I got a lot of famous friends now, I guess.
Right. But but when you're driving around, do you see them at the grocery? Like, you know what I mean?
That's the great thing about L.A. is randomly see, like, Tom Cruise at a Starbucks or Eddie Murphy getting called.
I went to San, and this has been years ago, but I was in Santa Monica visiting a friend. And I went jogging, and I bumped into Steven Spielberg. right? Oh, wow. Okay, no, whatever. He didn't know me, but I literally bumped into him. Yeah. And then I go, and I'm going to the Fifth Street Promenade, or is that what they call it? Or Third Street Promenade? Yeah. Whatever Third the hell Street. They call it. Yep. And then Matthew McConaughey, rollerblades right in front of me. Yeah. I mean, that kind of stuff happens.
The thing is, you got to be cool about it. Like, you can't just,
yeah, you
like,
can't
run up
like,
on
like, yeah, 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 you got to be
Spielberg!
Cool.
Love E.T.
Did this bring up, like, an old movie?
I wasn't cool, though. I did one of these.
Well, I told you that story when I was in the hotel pool in Santa Monica years ago.
Right.
And Sean Penn got into the pool. Right next to me. I was the only guy in the pool. Sean Penn just got in the pool. And then his hot ass wife, Robin Wright, got in right after.
His wife at the time.
At the time.
Yeah, sure.
It was you three? You could have had a three.
Well, they had a kid too, but
right.
Yeah. It was the four of us. Yeah. In the pool.
Kid kind of ruined the vibe.
Yeah. So, Rel, how much has your life changed since you were in Get Out? I mean, that has to be a life changer.
I was on a good streak, right?
Yeah.
And then Get Out happened. What it did change was my movie career, because right after that, you know, I went from auditioning for movies to just getting straight offers.
Oh. How did you get the part? Can you take us through how you landed that role?
Well,
in
first,
Get Out?
Jordan told me about it at a Spielberg party, actually.
That's
and
funny.
He was like, "Yeah, I wrote a horror film." I was like, "Oh, okay." You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
He's not known for this. Like,
yeah,
oh,
right.
Cool, brother. Good luck for that. You know, but he was telling me about it, and he was saying that, you know, he would like for me, you know, want, you know, maybe come in and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I read the script and was like, "Are they gonna let you do this?" I'm in, brother. So did he basically give it to you?
You still have an audition?
I auditioned. You know, because it's one of those things where, like, even if he wanted me, the studio didn't know me like that. You know
right,
what I mean? So
right.
I auditioned. But when I was reading it, it felt like it was mine. Like, it just felt like, it right. felt like I was high talk. I'm like, did he write this for me or something? Like,
right.
That's what it felt like. And it was just a natural thing. I mean, like, even when I booked, I remember going for the callback, and we did the original scene that we had to cut out the last scene. And I'm outside waiting on my Uber, and Jordan comes out and say, and there's literally people in there waiting to audition for the same part. He's like, "I'm about to offer this to you. So I'm about to call your agents. This is yours."
Nice.
And I just walked for blocks, tearing up. Because I don't even know why I was so happy. Because it wasn't a big budget.
Right,
I mean, we
right.
didn't know what this was going to be. But it was just, I can't even, I don't know.
You knew it was huge.
I knew
huge.
It was something.
You knew
was
it was
gonna,
huge.
I don't know if I knew it was, I didn't know what it, I don't know if I knew it was huge. I knew,
you knew it was
special.
Different. You knew
it was
different.
Something special about it. Yeah,
great script.
So when he says that we're going to offer this to you, do you that like in your position? Do you have leverage, or you just take whatever they offer? How's that work? We were offered a deal by ESPN 10 years ago, or 15 years ago now, and we asked for double. They told us to F off.
Yeah.
So we don't really know how to
we're
do that.
We're shrewd negotiators.
Well, it's funny you say that. It. At that time, that, you know, that was my first major motion picture, so it wasn't no leeway to be like, "Yo, this is what I want." I was like, I was just happy with the offer.
Yeah, see, we weren't really happy.
After that,
we're stupid.
After that, you get the bag.
Now you get.
Yeah.
You got some leverage.
Yeah, but the money was still good for that part.
The back end was good.
Back end, yeah.
Oh, so you had negotiated that in?
Well, it was
Was that standard?
It was a low budget movie. That's what we all forget, that it wasn't a big budget. It was low budget.
$4.5 million.
It was less than that at first.
Was it really?
That's where they gave more money once they saw how good it was for us to reshoot the end and stuff. So, but
right.
No, it wasn't. Nobody got anything up front that was, nobody, none of the actors. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, Bradley Whitford was joking, like, if they had a bigger budget, none of us would have been casted.
Right. So because of that,
was he the dad?
He's the dad, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in a bunch of movies, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, which that's Brad. Like, nobody got anything for real.
Right.
Yeah.
So because of that success, then what movies came your way? Were they just giving them to you?
Uncle Drew was the first one that was offered to me that I shot with Kyrie last summer. Then I got this movie Bird Box I shot with Sandra Bullock. Then Brittany Runs a Marathon I did with Jillian Bell. Then I did this movie with Eric Andre, Bad Trip. And right now I just look at I turn down a lot of stuff, actually, which is crazy.
But
it's offers.
So
after the movie, literally the day after the movie came out, I was auditioning for stuff the day before.
Crazy.
And right after Get Out came out, it was just me just having dinner and having a conversation. Like, "All right, you want to do it?" I'm like, "All right."
So how many different offers are coming in, let's just say, during the year? What do you get, like 5 to 10 offers?
Yeah. I mean, I get scripts maybe every other day, a new script that, you know, I look at. And I just met with Paramount. about some
stuff. That's the other thing that I learned when I was out in L.A. We visited a friend. I was there for a week, and they did the whole thing, all the touristy things, and he went to the parties and everything. Everyone has a script. Scripts are everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
I went to a party, and they're literally in the front yard, in the grass, were scripts.
They just want to hit it.
There's no way you can read it. There's no way you can
Everyone has all those scripts that are sent to you.
No, you don't. I mean, I've learned to skim read. It has to be something that, like, I usually have my agent or my manager look at it first. They tell me what it is, and it's like, okay, this don't even sound like nothing I want to do. Which is crazy. It's fun turning down. Like, I've turned down some stuff that, like, with the offer, the money offer was insane.
Right.
But I was like, eh.
Now you can be selective.
I've been selective, though. That's what I've been doing. I've been selective when I wasn't supposed to be selective.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you're supposed to just take, like, no, I've been like, and that's how I am now. It's so funny because now I think my friend, I know people think I'm just, because I have so many movies coming out this year, people probably think I'm just saying yes to everything, but it's not. I'm really picky about that, and I wanted to make sure everything was different. And I'm doing what I want. Like, Uncle Drew, I had to do that movie. I'm a basketball fan. It was like, why would I not do this movie?
All right, we're white trash, so we need to know the biggest offer that you turned down.
I'm not gonna tell you that.
Come on, you can't share that with us.
Nope.
So you won't. Tell
I'm from Chicago. I don't want nobody to know what I'm really getting.
So you won't tell us how much you made on the back end of Get Out.
Nope.
I bet it was substantial.
Well, he's turning stuff down. He's got money.
Yeah,
I'm doing okay, man.
I know you are.
I pay child support.
that's a big chunk of it.
Yeah, I'm just I'm taking care of everybody. I'm doing okay.
Just know he can't leave his receipt in the ATM. That's all you need.
Yeah, that's funny you say that. We were talking about that yesterday. Yeah. I was like, if I left this receipt here, so I was like, where is this guy?
Oh, really? Dear God.
It'll get on Twitter somehow.
You got all this money in your checking account?
I'm not saying anything to
careful,
any stuff
man.
You
what are you
say.
Doing?
He's not doing
I'm
that.
Just a guy who likes to wear jogger suits and buy a pair of glasses every once in a
while. Well, does that mean that you got a fancy ride then? Are you a car guy?
No, not really. I mean, I got a Benz, but it's L.A. Everybody got a Benz.
Everybody's got
one. That's true.
Is it a new one? Is it a new one?
Yeah, it's decent.
Good.
It's a good year.
But you're not out there buying Ferraris and everything.
Nah, I'm not saying I won't do that.
Ah,
but eventually. That could happen
someday. Yeah.
Would you rent one just so you could just, you know, get on TMZ or something?
Nah, hell no.
Rent one and go to like one of those lunch spots. What's the lunch spot we went to, Cakes, where we tried to get seen?
We went to the Ivy. We did the worst,
Ivy.
The worst tourist trap ever.
We got turned down every club because it was all dudes, no girls.
Yeah, that's LA's a tripped up. I mean, it's
LA's
funny.
LA's hardcore,
it's
man.
It's funny now. Like, weird. I can go. I think it's fascinating that I can go anywhere now. I remember my first LA experience, it wasn't like that. But now I just be like, I don't even think they'd be knowing me. And I would pull up, I'm like, oh, all right. Bro, I was gonna wait in line, but all right, cool, bro.
When I was in LA, bro, I went to, I did the whole, you know, Beverly Hills and Bel Air. Mm-hmm. And I found out where Jennifer Aniston lived. And I just went to her house with my family.
So creepy.
With my wife and kids in the back of the rental car.
And then I just parked there?
I parked out front of her gate. For like 20 minutes. Wow.
20 minutes?
Yeah, this is grasping.
That's
you're
so creepy.
Your wife, weird?
Your wife was okay with this?
Creepy.
She wanted to do it more than I did.
Then tell them what you did with Lenny Dykstra.
Oh, you know Lenny Dykstra?
Yeah.
Dykstra?
Remember Lenny?
I hung out with Lenny Dykstra for like 8 hours. Just got hammered with him. dude is nuts. All he wanted to do was get on Backpage and look for hookers. That's all he wanted to do.
That's why they didn't shut Backpage down because of that.
Yeah.
Oh, he's
did
bitter.
You see that?
No, I didn't.
Oh, yeah. FBI
what's Lenny going to do?
I don't know.
He's got to find a new site.
I think they took out the personals or whatever they were on Craigslist, too,
they
because
did.
Of the same thing.
The FBI is shutting down.
The hookers are distraught. Where are the hookers going to go?
I guess you just.
Instagram, man.
Instagram? Yeah. Like, Cakes, what are you going to do now?
I don't know, man. I'm in quite a bind over here.
Like, I guess we got to walk the streets again. Back to the streets.
How long had you known Jordan Peele?
I've known Jordan for a while now. When he was doing Key and Peele, I had a sketch series I was on with a couple of guys. We did a show called Friends of the People that was on True TV. So we was True TV's first scripted series. We was on that for 2 seasons. But at the same time, they was doing Key and Peele. The first time me and Jordan met was at a comedy festival in Montreal, the Just for Laughs festival. And we was at a Funny or Die party, lit, just talking. It was almost like that sketch that they do where they're like we were just talking crazy. Like, we was two dudes with glasses talking like gangsters for no reason.
Right.
At a comedy party. It was just weird. But
he's hysterical.
He was so cool, man, and he's a good. he's legit a good dude. I'm like happy to call him my friend now. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Our history with Key and Peele was our producer behind
this
the glass.
Is embarrassing.
He
by
came
the way.
To us like I want to say this is 8 or 9 years ago.
It was right before the Comedy Central show. Yeah, like blew up.
You know, yeah, pitching a guest. Hey, we've got this comedy duo. Their name is Key and Peele, and we're going to book them on the show. We're like, Key and who? Who are these guys? Why are we having them on the show? And now, look at Key and Peele, the successes those guys are having.
We had no idea.
We have no idea.
Did it go well or did it go poorly?
No,
I can't
great.
Remember.
It went
great.
It was awesome.
It was awesome because they were awesome.
Because right. Key is just, you know, he's just hysterical.
Are they still tight? Or
they're
no?
Still close.
They're
yeah.
Still tight.
They're
still it's all close. Good.
Yeah. Both those guys are just killing it now.
It's a great video of when Jordan wins the Oscar and Keegan just losing it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like at some, I don't know what he was watching it at, but he's just losing his mind, man.
Did you go to the Oscars?
Yeah, I was there.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
Did you go to parties afterwards?
Yeah, I went to the official governor's ball party thing, which was boring. Oh, God, it was so boring. And then I went to Jay-Z and Beyonce's gold party.
Oh,
and that was lit.
Look at that.
Yeah, look at that.
That was
solid.
Super lit. It was one of the best parties I've ever
we
been to.
We stood next to, we have a little, we Jay-Z did a festival that we did here years ago. And we stood next to Beyonce on stage, right, when Jay-Z was performing. That's maybe the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. Like, in a face, it's ridiculous.
She is gorgeous. Man, but she's gorgeous inside. It's actually cool now that I can, like, because I just hosted, like, the Beyonce's mom, the wearable gala thing. And,
right.
Which she made me out. It was just, I know them now. It's just like,
isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Could you call Jay-Z
I saw
right
Black
now?
Panther with
could you call Jay-Z?
Oh, he did.
Yeah.
I think Allison Williams is hot as balls.
She's so cool. She's so cool.
I just love her.
She's so, like, her coolness makes her even more
makes
attractive.
Makes her hotter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you
she's
know
so
that
cool.
Solange? Is that how you say her name? Solange? How do you say the sister?
Solange, yeah. Solange.
Is she cool or is she crazy?
No, she's not crazy. She's cool.
Right.
Yeah. She's real chill.
Why was she beating up Jay-Z in the elevator?
Hey, man, look, man. They put out Lemonade and the album. Look, they both talk about it, man. Just listen to the music, man.
Right. Yeah.
All right, you want to stick around?
I'm here. Let's chill.
Yeah, yeah, it's right. Lil Rel Howery and Jay Alexander. They're at Arlington Cinema and Draft House this weekend. For tickets, go to arlingtondrafthouse.com. We'll be right back. Yeah. Welcome back to the show. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. We're joined in studio by Lil Rel Howery and his feature act at Arlington Cinema and Draft House this weekend, Jay Alexander. Go to arlingtondrafthouse.com for all of your ticket information to see the show.
We haven't talked to Jay. Jay is from Detroit.
Yes, yes.
But he also lives in L.A.
Yes, I do.
He's been out. How long have you guys been working together?
It's been a while now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Long time.
Yeah.
All right, so you guys are both big NBA fans. We were talking a little hoops during the break. Before we start to break down maybe the playoffs a little bit, I got to get your take on the Tristan Thompson videos, the Khloe Kardashian deal.
That was a setup.
Is it a setup? That's what Mel Mees is saying.
I mean, the camera angle was too perfect.
Yeah.
It was too perfect.
Yeah, but then you're hearing all these stories, all these other girls
they
coming
up. They got five girls he's been with since
come on, man.
Khloe's
he's
been knocked
he's an NBA guy.
But that's what happens to Kardashians. They get cheated on.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just what you do.
Because they keep dating NBA ballers. Yeah. Of course they're going to get cheated on.
Would you advise your daughter date an NBA player?
Hell no.
Right?
No.
Of course not.
No. Not a football player,
well,
NBA player, no.
See, but think about it. If it's like Russell Wilson or somebody like that, like if it's
all
a
right,
nice
a
guy,
bird, like a Steph Curry.
Or right. Like, yeah, it's like,
yeah.
It depends on the guy. Like, how did he grow up? That's the problem. Did he have a functioning family?
Yeah, but most NBA guys are like J.R. Smith.
Yeah.
Right?
But he looked, that's funny
nine
you said
out of
it.
10.
J.R. Smith looks like a loyal guy. Like, just certain dudes, I just don't.
He does?
It's just a vibe. Yeah. Like, yeah. He loves his girl.
I'm sure he does, but he doesn't look like he's loyal to me.
That's so funny. I think the dudes that's not loyal is the ones you wouldn't. Like, Tristan Thompson, I don't know.
I just assume they're all like that.
Well, what did Shawnee O'Neal say? What Shaq's wife said? Drabby, what did Shawnee O'Neal say?
She said in all her years in the NBA, being an NBA family, Grant Hill was the only one who didn't cheat on his wife.
Wow. I believe that, though.
See?
So do I.
Right? It's just how it is.
Well, his wife is bad, you know what I mean?
Maybe all their wives are bad.
Was it Tamia? Is that who he's married to?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, he's married to Tamia, yeah. Mm-hmm.
She wasn't local, right? One of those girls was local. I don't think it was Tamia, though. Maybe it was. I can't remember.
One of the girls that was with Shaq?
No, with Grant. With Grant Hill's
or you could be crazy like Doug Christie's wife. you know, and follow him everywhere.
Yeah, she's whack.
Doug Christie doesn't cheat at all. Right.
But that's
cheat.
All. Oh, yeah, she didn't they break up?
She would cut his dong off.
Did they break up, Doug Christie and his wife?
I don't know.
No, I don't think they so. No, that's a forever contract.
I don't think
she wasn't even allowed to, like, look at another chick.
No. Couldn't even look. When he was on the court, he couldn't even
all that.
Right, exactly.
You gotta keep her eye
that's
on
still
him.
Insane. That, like, bro, you make all the money, fam.
Right. You should be able to set the ground rules. Now, you said you did a movie with Shaq and Weber.
Shaq, Chris Weber, Lisa Leslie, Nate Robinson, Kyrie, Reggie Miller,
and
Aaron
cool?
Gordon's in a movie.
I got to imagine. See, to me, I love Shaq.
Shaq
are
is amazing.
Are you going to ask him your obligatory Shaq question?
Well, I've heard that everything's not appropriate.
Appropriate.
That makes sense.
Size appropriate.
Yeah. Oh. Like, he's up might have a teeny weeny panini. That's what I've Christ. Heard.
I don't really? Care about Shaq.
You haven't heard that?
I don't. It's none of my business. No, I heard that.
He's, dude, he's weird. Like no.
I don't know that.
I thought all brothers know dong size.
No, no,
like
no,
Chris
no.
Brown that's, is not.
That's what you think.
That is weird.
We don't
no,
sit around.
I don't sit around like, hey man,
penises.
You know I've heard yeah.
The Biebs not a size appropriate.
That's what white guys talk about.
Yeah,
that is so weird.
I heard Shaq. Kind
the
of
brothers team. Don't talk like
no,
that.
Like, no, I don't have no reason to be talking about
that. But you said
Shaq's a great person. He's hysterical.
They don't talk about Dirk Nowitzki's hog size.
Right.
That's so weird. That's such a weird conversation. That
yeah. Because would, he's weird.
I'm like, yo, like what? I would like put my phone down if you said that to me on the phone. And right. You talk about it to yourself.
Right. You said up, you liked Weber, though, almost more than Shaq, right?
I think no? Chris, I said Chris Weber was, he was really good at acting.
Right.
Like, he's, yeah. Like, all of us were surprised at how funny he was and natural he was.
Uh-huh. Well, I think he's a really smart guy, I think.
Yeah.
I think
but whatever. What was his role? Did he have to act like a basketball player? I mean, what was
no,
the role
actually,
he's
no.
Playing?
They none of them, we played basketball, but all their characters was different.
Okay.
So, like, Weber played, like, this preacher. Yeah, so it's, I mean, it was without me telling everything, but, like, they all was different characters. Kyrie was able to be serious and dramatic along with being funny. Like, I saw a cut already and I was like, yo, these dudes, it's almost like you're almost jealous because it's like, oh, they can, I can't just show up at a practice facility and be like, oh yeah, let me play
trees.
A couple games. Yeah, let me play a couple games with y'all this season. They can like, oh, doing this summer, I could shoot a movie and then go back to the NBA.
Right.
Now, you were telling us during the break, this is a good story, that when you were filming the movie with Kyrie, that's when he found out that he was traded.
Yeah, well, no, yeah, everything
right?
happened.
He was so, like orchestrating it.
Right,
all,
when
right?
he wanted to leave, that's the first thing I found. And I saw SportsCenter first. It's like, oh, he wants to leave?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. It is like, I wanted to ask him about it.
Right. You want to pick his brain.
I was like, why do you want to go? Which we eventually talked about it. And just, like, you know one thing I love about Kyrie, man, is that he really is a basketball head. Like, the dude would, I don't care if he was dribbling on grass. Anytime he had a basketball, he was, like, playing. It's so crazy. It was like, yo, you really love the game, brother.
Mm-hmm. So he's a good dude.
He's a good dude, but he still, I mean, he thinks the earth is flat, but.
Yeah, he's not, I mean, still.
Does he really think that, or is it,
nah,
he, is it
he's
a bit?
No, nah, that's just, he seriously, he has a lot of strong opinions.
Who
about
do those
that.
Guys think? They think it's like a Frisbee or something?
I don't know.
Is that
know.
What those guys think?
I mean, I've never been a flat earther. Like I couldn't tell you.
It's hard to not tell, like, if we, the problem is we make maps flat, right?
Right.
And I think that's what,
that's
like. I mean,
yeah, but
get
you know what?
Has
Kyrie's
he never seen a
do?
Globe?
But that's what I'm saying. Like, we just take it on whatever shape they're giving us. Like,
but here, I have respect for Kyrie because I'm certain Kyrie's not going to be like the white guy that is a flat earther that built his own rocket to shoot himself up in the air to take pictures of it to prove to everyone.
Right. Yeah. Nah.
I'm pretty sure Kyrie wouldn't do that.
Nah.
I don't think so.
I don't think,
I don't think anybody would.
I think he's
going
to take it to that level.
Right.
Nah. I mean, what a sun tells you that the earth isn't flat. I mean, if it's light on one side, it's dark on the opposite side. So that's what tells you this.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's pretty
tell
cut
Kyrie
and dry.
To go see,
it's cut and dry. That's
tell
what
Kyrie to go see Gravity, the movie Gravity.
Yeah.
It's so weird that we just, but we can't assume. I don't know. I get it. I get like.
Oh, you do a little of it?
Because it's like, I just one of those people, I don't believe everything people tell me unless
you believe
you give
we landed
proof.
On the moon?
I don't believe that happened.
Really?
Nah.
Do you believe in dinosaurs?
That's funny. Nah. I was thinking about that the other day. I don't, because I know they find these bones, but it's like, how did they just erase? And I know it's like this big, like, you remember the show Dinosaurs, and they got, which is one of the saddest finales ever, because they had to become extinct, and you saw, like, the baby dinosaur die. It was like.
Is that the Not the Mama
Not one? The Mama, yeah.
Yeah, with the frying pan and everything.
Yeah, it's insane. But I don't know. I'm not sure. It's funny you say that. I'm not sure.
What was the
You have a lot of questions.
What was the cartoon back in the day when they were living in, with the dinosaurs? Way back in the 70s.
Land of the Lost.
Yeah,
Land
it wasn't a cartoon. Oh,
was it? Well, I guess not cartoon, kind of. Kind of a cartoon.
It was just bad special effects.
Yeah.
Right. Well, 70s. I was hooked on Land of the Lost.
Me too.
Right, we have to wrap it up.
All right, we got to go, bro.
Thank Lil Rel Howery and Jay Alexander for coming in and visiting. They're at Arlington Cinema and Drafthouse this weekend. For all of your ticket information, you can go to arlingtondrafthouse.com. Thank you guys for
Thanks
coming
for having
in.
Us, man.
Appreciate that. They're going to have a great weekend out at Arlington Draft House, so go get your tickets today.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. You know what? I got to give a shout-out to my good friends at Merrifield Garden Center. They're going to mulch the house today.
Oh, you got to get it in. You got any plugs?
Hey,
you
know
get anything free?
If it prevents you from mulching...
It's better makes, than I... You know, I'll all, never mulch.
All the sense in the world.
It's hard.
I like your mulch.
They don't have to mulch
friend.
In L.A.
Right, I don't even know what mulching is.
Those are, those are white people problems.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.